Cry when she comes to the house of the Lord, just to have Him speak His words and may go straight to our hearts. Amen. So praise the Lord. It's good to be with you. It's a beautiful day outside and it's a beautiful day inside. Amen. Every day is a beautiful day when you have the Lord in your heart.
Amen.
And so it's good to be here with you. You know, we live in a a tremendous time, you know, with things going on the way it is out in the world and so forth. And, you know, I just really feel like, of course, you know, we don't know the time, but I really feel like that we're approaching the time when the mechanics has been built up in the bride, more mechanics, more truth, more word. And I really feel like we're approaching the time where we're going to see the dynamics be released also upon that mechanics. And I don't believe the bride's going to leave this world as a dud, as weaklings. So we just do live in a tremendous time. And, you know, a lot of people might just doubt and say, well, you know, like the mark of the beast, where he talks about nobody can, in the whole world, could buy, whether they're bond free, wherever they are, that nobody can buy or sell unless they have that mark. And, you know, that may be kind of hard to imagine, but, you know, we're already see a situation where the whole world's having to bow down to this COVID thing, right? The whole world, whether they're in prison or whether they're free, whether they're a rich person or a poor person, whether they're a political leader or just, you know, a common person. Oh, everybody's having to bow down to this, you know, and to deal with it. And so you see the trigger can be pulled on a lot of things and made such that the whole world have to bow down to it. So we realize we're in a tremendous time. Let's go ahead and open the Bible. Pray for my voice. I need to sing in a bunch of different service, and I need to reserve some of it for ministry. Romans chapter 3. I'm sorry. Go to John. You're right. Let's go to John 18 first. I wrote it backwards on my paper, but she's got it right. John chapter 18, verse 37 to 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate therefore said, go to the next verse, 38. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? That's the title of my sermon today, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and he said unto them, I find no fault in him. Now let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Wife needs more practice. She told me that earlier, so we're giving it to her today. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some of them did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let's pray. Lord, we do bow our hearts to you. Thank you for this time now as we're approaching your word. Lord, we're asking God that you would just take the word and unfold it to our hearts. This solely lays within you, Lord, the great Holy Spirit, to quicken these things to man. And so we present ourselves here today as your subject, called by your grace. And we're asking God that you just minister through us and to us. We commit this time into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And since we've got some families out this morning, each one of you, you'll have to pull that much more, and you'll have to amen that much more. And if you want to get up and move around maybe a little bit so it sounds like we got amens coming from other places, you can. No. Amen. We thank the Lord for his liberty this morning. So what is truth? You know, before we get started, I'm going to read several more scriptures, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. You're familiar with them, but I thought I'd take it easy on a multimedia person today, and it turns out it's my wife. So, but I thought, you know, just to make it a little bit smoother, I just read it real quick. These are all pertaining to truth. So John chapter 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. St. John chapter 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. St. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And St. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus saying, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So I want to talk to you this morning about truth. What is truth? We read in the scriptures there where it said that let every man be a liar, but God be true. And, you know, as I've said this many times, if anybody wants to come along and say anything different than what God has declared, then it's a lie. But if a man is found quoting, if he's found quoting the Word of God and repeating the Word of God, then he's speaking truth because it's the Word of God. But if he deviates from that, then it's a lie. And so no matter whether it's a thought or something that's spoken or something that is believed, something that is lived, a way of governing, a way of living from day to day, any of those things that deviate from what God has laid out as a way to properly do whatever it is you're referring to, then it's a lie. And remember, Brother Bam tells us that what is a lie? It's the truth that's been perverted, or the truth been misrepresented or perverted. And everything that God created was original, and the spoken word's original seed greets the original creation. But Satan comes along and perverts the original. He takes truth and he perverts it into something else. And we're talking about the spoken word, and he perverts it and makes it something false. But that spoken word also created. It created the earth, it created our bodies, it creates everything. And then Satan comes along and through science and through all the things, he can pervert that, and now we got a whole world that's a lie.
Right.
Because it's not originally the way it was originally created. It's been touched by Satan. Every doctrine, every governance, everything out there has been touched by Satan except the truth. Amen?
Right.
And you know, one of the best ways for Satan or for anyone to come up and to someone is, you don't come up and just say, just flat out, just bold-faced lie. But tell them just enough to believe it. Just that, well, this looks right, but then throw something in there, just a little bit of something that's not right, and now look what you have. And so, this is true. Let every man be a liar, but God is the one that's true. We live in God's universe. The breath that I'm breathing, the breath that you breathe, the strength of the muscles that you have, He gave that to you. He's only loaned it to you. And it all belongs to Him, and we're in His universe. Regardless of how big it is, it's His universe. He made the rules for His universe. It is His gospel. It is His way. It is His salvation. It's His redemption. And so if we want to be partakers of that, we've got to come His way and not try and pervert it to something else. God's not obligated to meet us on the way that we desire to worship Him. Because if that was the case, He would have accepted what Cain did. God is only obligated to meet us upon the pathway that He's provided for us, and that is the way He meets us. And so we have to come that route. And so every man and everything that's been touched by man is a lie. It's not really representing the truth of God's Word. And so, I don't think people get this. I still hear people, no matter what you're talking about, I still hear people, and they're like, well, I don't think, but I think this, and I think that, and I don't think this is a problem, and I don't think that's a problem. I hear that all the time from people, everywhere. When you go to talking about the Word of God, well, I don't think it means that. It doesn't matter what you think. You see what I'm saying? It does not matter what man thinks. It does not matter what society thinks. It doesn't matter what the most popular trend is on Twitter or Facebook. That's not what matters. God's not going to judge the world by Facebook and Twitter or YouTube or something like that. He's not going to judge the world by the popular vote of the American people. He's not going to judge the world that way. But He's going to judge the world by the pathway that He's provided, and that is His Word, which is truth alone by itself is truth.
Right.
That's true. Because if it's changed, it's no longer truth. See, this is the only truth there is in the land is the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And it is truth, but here's the sad thing. It's what man has done to the truth. It's not the Bible that's a problem, or it's not the truth that's a problem, but it's the way it's been represented by man is what the problem is. It's why so many are so deceived, is because of that. And so I hear people saying, oh, you know, I don't think this. And here's the thing. Satan is behind every tree, behind every corner, underneath every rock, trying to get to God's people. And people are still running around, walking around like we're not in a battlefield. Satan's not really out here. He's not in the news. He's not in social media. He's not in this. He's not in our schools. He's not in government programs. No, he's not in all that. That's what they think. And he's in every bit of it. Every last bit of it.
Right.
Because they deviate from the Word of God. Right? Stand for something that's right, but then stand for things that's obviously wrong. But the popular opinion gets all behind, oh, look at this, when there's this other stuff. It's not the big foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little foxes right. that spoil the vines. And that's the thing that gets overlooked in society, a lot of it, and in people's lives. And so it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It's God's, what God's Word says. Let me read you a quote. There will be several I'll read this morning. This was out of leadership. Brother Bam says, what are you following? Remember leadership, you have to follow something. What are you following? What have we done? You must choose a leader. Choose today, choose life or death. Your choice will determine your eternal destination, what you choose. Remember Jesus said, follow me. And you're invited tonight to do so. And to follow him to eternal life, you must come on his terms. That's right, the word. Not upon the creed, not upon public opinion, not upon anybody else, what anybody else thinks about it. It's on what God said about it. You say, well, Brother Brown, I know a woman and she's just as good as can be and she does this, and I know a man that went through this. I can't help what they've done. God's word. And he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be true. You've got to come on his terms, come his conditions, the word. You cannot come through creeds. You cannot come through denomination. You cannot mix it like that. There's only one thing that you can do. Accept it and on his terms that you're willing to die to yourself and your thoughts, all your thoughts, and follow him and get rid of all these things of the world and follow me. So you see, even your prophet, right at the very last of his ministry, was still telling us, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what you think. It's what the Word of God says. That's what we're going to be judged by. Sorry about the noise here. So, we read there where you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And as I said many times, it won't just set you free, but it'll make you free, because you could be set free and then get back in prison again. But once you know the truth, and I'll say it this way, the truth in every form that it is, once you know that truth, to know truth liberates you. If you're bound down in a society and they're believing a lie, it is. And here's the thing, when you believe a lie, it is binding. When you believe a lie, it puts you in prison. You are bound up. And the only thing that can set you free is truth. Truth will set you free. And you can be physically chained like Paul was, Paul and Silas. But to know truth, you're free. And they cannot bind you when you have truth.
Right.
Especially truth pertaining to you, the truth that you are. And so I want to get to that in just a little bit. And so we know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So it must be that it's lies that bind people down. And it is. Because remember, there's only one truth that comes from Almighty God. It's His Word. And anything outside of that is what deceives people and binds people and makes slaves out of people. Makes high places and low places in society.
Right.
The binding is people not living according to the Word of God. And when people do that, they have a motive usually. There's a motive why people won't live by the Word of God, because they have some ungodly, selfish motive of their own. And rather than dying to themselves, putting away what they think and what they want and surrendering to God, that God might live through them. And so we read several scriptures there, and I'm going to just kind of mention them real quick. We read a scripture where it said, He came to bear witness of truth. And it also says that everyone that is of truth heareth his voice, heareth him. So, you know, he is the Word made flesh. So he is truth. As he read, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So he is truth, and he came here to bear witness to truth. So when he come to bear witness to truth, not only is he going to bear witness to himself, which they accused him of, your record's not true because you bear witness to yourself. He said, well, the Father bears witness too. Right? So he had to bear witness to himself, but not only to, because that's not all the truth we're talking about, not just Jesus Christ coming as our Savior, but there's more truth, which is the Word of God, and it's pertaining to those he came to redeem. So he said that everyone that is of truth, in other words, everyone who is truth also, they'll hear his voice as he witnesses to truth, which he is, and they are. Follow me? So, anyone who is part of this kingdom, part of this spoken word that he sent here to be truth in our day, those people will believe the truth when it's shown to them, when it's preached before them, when it's demonstrated to them. They catch it, and in every day, the revelation they caught of truth was also a revelation of their very position in Christ. Amen. And so, we saw there where we must worship in spirit and in truth. Not just in spirit, because remember, I think Brother Graham talked about the Pentecostals, they'd have the spirit part and the Baptists would have the word part, but if they could get both of them together, they'd have something. Right. So you got to worship God, not just in the letter of the word, but you got to worship God in the baptism, in the Holy Spirit in your life, quickening the word, causing you to hear the word, quickening the word to you, and quickening the word in you so you become an expression of truth yourself in the hour you live in. Amen. That's exactly right. And so we have to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
To have a new birth that will quicken this modern day living word in this hour, that you become an expression of that. And so you become truth. Right? And anybody is of truth will recognize truth. As it's spoken, as it's lived, as it's expressed, they'll catch it because they're of the same family. They have the same genetic inside them as Jesus Christ. We have the same thing Jesus Christ had. So our whole lives needs to be just all about the expression of truth. Not lies. Not living lies. Not chasing after lies. Not letting our whole lives be dominated by lies. But as time goes on, that our whole life becomes shifted to truth. And that's what motivates us more than anything else. More than society, more than what the world says, more than what's taught in schools and colleges now. But that truth that is eternal, living, and expressing this day, that's the thing we should be shifting. Our whole experience should be moving in that direction, that everything about us is all about truth. That it would be expressed, that it would be lived, regardless of what the world thinks.
Right.
But it would be lived and expressed through us, no matter what. That's what we should be all about from day to day.
Right.
Not living and chasing after lies or error or vanities. Because there's a lot of things that's vanity.
Right.
You know, the Word of God comes from God's thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
Words are thoughts spoken. And God's thoughts, Brother Ram tells us, is eternal. God's thoughts are eternal. They're real. They're real. And I'll read to you here in just a minute. But they are absolutely real thoughts. I won't say real thoughts. They're absolutely real. They're not like our thoughts. Because if God takes his thoughts and he speaks his word, that word is exactly what that thought is. And that word cannot fail. And so it create and bring to pass. And everything that's spoken will happen. And so when God thinks it, it's as good as done. It is done. In eternity, it's done. It's already there. Before God, it's already there. In time, things play out. But that's why the scriptures can say that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It didn't even say in the mind of God, but you know that even if God thought it in eternity, if he thinks it, it's done. Because God is not senile. He's not going to come up with a new thought. He's not going to lose thoughts. He's not going to get somebody else is not going to counsel him. Even he's not even going to counsel himself because he's infinite. He doesn't gain knowledge. He's always had it. And that thought becomes word and comes to pass and can't fail. So when God thinks it, it's done. He's finished with it. And that's truth. So here we are in time, and while we're dealing with all these things that come along, and what I'm saying is the believers, the further we go, is for our whole being to be shifted to truth. The thought of God, because he has a way somehow that he's going to take his program and give to you the secrets of life while the rest of the world is groping in darkness. So we need to catch that revelation of what he is and what he has committed to us. And so I'll read it. Read this. This is out of the Smyrna Church Age, in the Church Age book. It's a rather lengthy reading. You bear with me. Sometimes we stumble over those readings because it is directly the way he said it. Most of it. This is not. It was edited, but still yet. Brother Bram says, watch carefully now and see this. Before there was ever a speck of stardust, before God was God, and he says God is an object of adoration, no one was there to worship him, so he, at that time, was only potentially God. Before God was God, and he was known only as the eternal spirit, the bride was already in his mind. Yes, she was. She was existing in his thoughts. And what about the thoughts of God? Are they eternal? Or they are eternal, are they not? The eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. How many wants to see many things? God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. We have studied that and proved that already. God is infinite in his abilities. So therefore, he as God must be omniscient. If he's omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, then he's not omniscient. Follow me? God's not learning anything, because otherwise he's perfect. The best that we can say is that at some time he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything because all his thoughts he has always had and always will have and knows the end from the beginning because he is God. Thus, the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They're not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up and which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they are already real and eternal and part of God. This is what I want you to catch. See, when you're talking about God and his thoughts, they're already there, done. It's a more real realm than this flesh realm. It's more real because it's done, it's finished, and it can't fail. This down here is nothing. This is a lie. You see what I'm saying? This is to be bound down and limited to all these things and be different than what that was is a lie. But he has come to give us life and so that we can know these things, have a revelation of it all. And so they are already real and eternal and part of God. See how this works. God always had his thoughts for Adam. Adam and his thoughts was yet unexpressed in Psalms 139, 15 to 16. We'll give you a little idea on this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book were all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That as I said, was not written about Adam, but it gives us an idea and a knowledge that the thought was there in his mind. And the thought was eternal and had to be expressed. So let me get you over this hump. Brother Ram was saying, God knew it from all along, and now, but it has to come and be expressed. So Adam had to come and be expressed. So when Adam was formed of the dust of the earth and his spiritual being created by God, then Adam became God's thought expressed, and those eternal thoughts were now manifested. The manifestation of an eternal thought of God. That's what he's talking about. A thought of God made flesh. So down through the centuries we could go. We could find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. And each one of these were God's eternal thoughts expressed in its season. Then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. That is what he is and will and forever will be. Now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. We were right there in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from it. So he's showing you there that there is an eternal quality to the elect people of God because they were in God's mind in those thoughts, and those thoughts are real. They're more real than this earth, this world. So God's thoughts are eternal. God's thoughts are now, not will be. This is why Jesus, he says, I am. The I am. Not the one that I used to be, but he was then too. Not, you know, so presently, right now, he is the I am. He was there yesterday. He was the I am then. He's the I am now, and he'll be the I am tomorrow. Always present tense. But he was the one that was and which is and which is to come. Right?
Right.
See? So, he is the I am. And what we want to show you here is that all of God's attributes are like that. All of God's attributes, in his mind, there was a Moses. He went out, had to be manifested. There was an Elijah. He had to go out and be manifested. There's a you. Has to come out and be manifested. All of them are the thoughts of God coming to pass on this earth, being made manifest. But all they're manifesting here on this earth is exactly the truth that they were. Because they said, what is truth? The truth that they were in his mind. Now they've come here to be an expression of that truth. But my point is as Moses was the mind, the Word of God, in the mind of God, the Word of God. Elijah was in the mind of God, and is the Word of God, and made flesh. Jesus is the full Word of God, and became flesh. And you were in the mind of God, and now become flesh. And all portions of them are the Word. And God is his Word. So when you take, you say, well, we've got this chunk of the Word, and we take a portion of that and send it out, that doesn't lessen God. And furthermore, the part that went out is just as much as this portion is that he come from. Because it's eternal. See, God is eternal. And you know, it's like the ocean. If I went to the ocean and said, man, there, that's eternal. It's so big. And you'd think, well, if I tug a cup out, well, you know what? That ocean is now shy of one cup. But you can't do that with God. When you take a portion of God, when he took that and he sent it to the earth, that's all God that's there being manifested through Moses. That's all God that's manifested through Elijah. And that's all God that's in you right now. It's all God, and yet he still fills all space and time and eternity because it's God. You can't break him down. It's something. And so, when Moses was there at the Red Sea, because he's the same Word that I am, I was there. This is why Brother Ram said, I was identified with Moses. I was identified with Elijah. I was identified with John the Baptist. You follow those sermons where he talked about that? Not just saying, well, I'm identified with that because I'm a Christian. Because they were Christians and I'm a Christian, so I'm identified with that. But I want to show it goes much further than that. It's not just that you were identified with it because they were Christians and we're Christian. But you're identified with it in the fact that the very Word that lives in your life right now was living there doing those things in that day.
Right. Same word, same God. No difference. So now, that gives new meaning to us to realize that not just because they were believers and doing God's will in that day, but because I was there, that life inside me was there, and Moses is with me now. I'll say it that way. So you can understand, because you can't separate God. It's all God. And I'll bring it even to modern day. It's all God living inside me, and it's all God living inside of Brother Tim, and all God living inside the rest of you. All the same. Same life, same program. Every aspect, attribute of God that come to this earth was all working for the same plan. All expressing the same thing, and it was all the same life of God, which is infinite in us. Amen. And so each one was with the other. So I was there. I was on Calvary's cross. I looked it up, and I don't have it. It's on my phone, but my phone's streaming right now. But Brother Graham said that God made me pay for my sins on Calvary's cross when Jesus was on Calvary's cross. That's not what they teach you out in the world. But you've got to realize that, and we can kind of catch that and say, well, yeah, I was in him because his Holy Spirit is in me, so I was there. But what I want to show you is this applies to all of the attributes of God. All of the elect that's living out the gospel plan throughout ages, we were part of it. We were there with it. That's like in this nation. You know, Brother Ram talked about how I was with George Washington. I was with Paul Revere. We have to be identified with glory and shame. And so that's the way it is with Christians, but it goes further than that. Because we were there. The life that was in Moses is in us. The life that was in Jesus is in us. The life that was in John the Baptist or Paul is in us. Amen. So some portion of you was there before the foundation of the world. Remember in the scriptures where it said, Job, where were you? Where were you? You know, before the foundation of the world, where when the morning stars sang and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So, you know, if you are a child of God, if you're a son of God, you know, including you sisters and that, if you are, and Brother Ben tells us, if you have eternal life right now, it's because you always was. If you really have God in you now, it's because you always had it. Why? Because in the mind of God, He already had given it to you. He had placed you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. And so you can't have it here if you didn't have it there. But if you had it there, nothing can keep you from getting it here. Because it's an expression of that realm that is truth that has been expressed. And so this is the thing we want to become so quickened to. That what God has said is, that's it. And everything else is a lie. Lying vanities. Listen, when Jonah was in the whale, the belly of the whale, and seaweeds all around him, he looks this way, or seaweed, he looked that way, seaweed, he's in the bottom of the ocean, and you know that he had a stack of cases against him. But what did he say? The lying vanities. Why? What made that lying vanities? The acid and stuff that would probably begin to eat on his body. What would make that a lying vanity? Because there's something somewhere that has a higher authority that speaks something different than that. And he was by faith looking to that realm to say, this is not what God has given. This is not what my judgment is. There's a God in heaven that's merciful. I'm going to turn and I'm going to point toward Jerusalem. How do you know which way to Jerusalem? I always thought that maybe he'd pray this direction and he'd move around praying so that eventually at some point he'd point toward Jerusalem. So he'd get it right. But that's kind of carnal because God knew what he was doing. And so God took him out. So there was something higher realm than the case against him. And we have cases against us physically, but they're lies and they're lying vanities. Because though they may last for years, though they may take their toll in a physical way, they cannot mar that which was spoken from God that's in the mind of God, from His truth that are real and always have been and always will be. Right. We've just dropped from that down into time to be tested and to be manifest, and we'll go right back to what we were back there then. It's hard to wrap your head around, but that's the truth. We come from God, we're here for a while, we go back to God, just like Jesus said. Amen. We know that. So there was some portion of you that was there rejoicing. There's something inside you right now, when you sit here and you hear the word, and there's something that says, amen, that's right, Brother Tony, that's right, that's true. You know why that's happening to you right now? Because it happened to you in that realm in his thoughts. You shouted for joy there, and you shout for joy here, and you'll shout for joy in the future. Because there's a portion of you that was and is to come. And in all cases, you shouted here, shouted there, here, and will be in the future and throughout all eternity. Because you have the same characteristics about you that Jesus Christ had. He came from the Father, come here, goes back to the Father. Right? He which was and is to come. And you're the same. This is the thing that's like, Lord, if we ever get our head wrapped around this, it won't be our head, it'll be our heart, a revelation to understand it, that we are just as much the Word of God made flesh as He was. He was just the fullness and we were in Him. But we are, each one in our way, we are a portion of God's Word. And again, each portion is eternal. Because you can't split God up and make Him something, you know, weakening down. So there was something in you rejoiced in, because we are the same attributes. There's something in you right now that the scripture said was predestined, that he foreknew in his mind, he foreknew it, and he predestinated it. There's something new predestinated, into that because you were predestined, you were called, and because you were called, you were justified, and then because you're justified, you're glorified. And Paul used past tense in all of those. Where did that happen at? Paul's telling the people that those that God foreknew, I mean, this is Bible teaching what I'm talking about, in the mind of God, those that God foreknew in his mind, he knew who they'd be, and because he has that ability to know, then he can predestinate. He can declare it and say, it'll be thus and thus because he foreknew it. And doing that, yet not violating his own program, because knowing that each subject had free moral agent. But you know why? Each one having free moral agent, choosing to do what's right. Because why? There's something in them that was there. Yeah. I was thinking, you take wheat seed, just slap it to pieces, what gene is in it still? After you get through whipping it, it's still wheat. Spray paint it, it's still wheat. See? It's not what happens in our flesh that is what we're talking about. Because no matter what happens in our flesh, no matter what's happened in this world, the seed that we came here with is what God gave us, and it'll always be that seed. Amen. And it's not the person that's predestinated, but it's that seed that's predestinated. Brother Graham tells us that. It's not the person, it's not me, but it's the life that God put in me, in his mind, that I'm here to express. That's the thing that's predestinated. Amen. And so because there's something in you that was predestinated, that he foreknew, and that in God's mind, he justified you. He said, that seed, I don't care what happens on this earth, what they go through, that seed is justified. That seed is in a position where they never did it in the first place. That's the thing we want to be quickened to. We want to be quickened to these truths that God has given us and told us about who we are, not the things of the world. That has more importance to us than anything else. If it doesn't, it should. So there's something in you that in God's mind was justified and already in God's mind, already glorified. You know what happens when you leave here? When you leave here, you go to a theophany, right? But you come back into theophany, or you pick it up if you're here at the time of the translation, you go to a glorified body. But in God's mind, you're already there. Right. You're already in that glorified. And this is what Paul was teaching. And this is, remember, Paul was the messenger to the Gentiles. And he laid that foundation. And he told us that we were in the mind of God and God has already settled it. It's over with and done with in the mind of God. And then the next thing Paul says, well, if God's for us, who can be against us? I mean, if this is the way it is, if God has thought this out and his thoughts are eternal and they're real and they're now, then here we are manifesting that thought. There's nothing can change this now. And that's why Paul said neither no angel, no death, no future, whatever, nothing, no principality, nothing can change that love of God that was given to us, shed abroad to us through Christ Jesus. The position that God gave us in Christ. Because here's the thing. If he had not purchased redemption for us, then we wouldn't be in that position in God's mind as justified. But because in his mind he slayed that lamb and justified us, then when we come here, we come to a justified state here because we already were that. Right. Remember what I said the other day, whenever you look at the scripture, it says, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound, whatever you loose. And I said, if you go to the original, it says, whatsoever you bind on earth will happen, having already been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will happen, having already been loosed in heaven. What? The earth coming in line with what truth is. So all the lies that are down here, all the wrong teachings, all the perversion of this world and diseases and all that lie will crumble because it'll all come back to truth. Because truth is the only thing that's got eternal life in it.
Amen.
Everything else has got death, and it must die. It must decay. It must come to naught. And anything that's left is going to be that truth, that word of God. Nothing else will be left. No government leader, no pope, but only the word of God and what he has said. And so you see, we have something in us that was and is to come. Something in us that cannot sin. The scripture said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. You say, I make all kinds of mistakes. You're talking about your flesh. You're talking about something perverted. I'm not talking about something perverted. Your flesh is perverted because it's dying. I'm talking about what God said about you from the beginning in his mind. It was there. It is eternal. Cannot sin. Never has sinned. It's not imputed to because it's all in his mind. He has, and remember, it's his program. It's his universe. I don't care if the rest of the world don't teach him like that. This is what he says. And so it's his universe. Something in you that cannot sin and something in you that was there then that can't perish. You say, well, I had a so-and-so aunt, uncle, or mom or dad, whatever, that died. Yeah, they're talking about the flesh. But I'm talking about the spirit realm of what you really are in God. Cannot perish. And that portion I'm talking about that was there, that was with him, that shouted, that can't perish, that dictates what you become here, that is truth. That's just as much truth as Jesus Christ was truth. And so when Jesus come here to testify of the truth, he's testifying of himself, but he also is testifying of you, of the full redemption that he brings you to.
Amen.
Amen. So I call it your portion of the Word, but that portion of the Word of God that is you, that he gave to you to manifest in this, it was there before the world was. And it was there in every event throughout the ages. That portion of life was you, was there with Moses. It was there with John. It was there with Elijah. Because it's God. And I'm identified with that. And all of this is all imputed to all of us believers all together as one big family of God. It was there with us. What was in me was there. And as each day goes on, we should be coming and are becoming more identified with that realm. You know, I think about when Brother Branham had his daughter was kind of getting kind of wild, and him and Mita was kind of having some troubles there with each other about it, and Mita was trying to ride herd on the daughter. Brother Brim said, just let's commit her to the Lord. Well, that's my daughter. It's my daughter too. Well, let's just commit her to the Lord. And Brother Brim said this, If she was dying tonight, if she was dying right now, we'd have to commit her to the Lord. If she was dying, see? And that's what I want to say. You got to commit it to the Lord. The whole thing. Lay it all. Because if we were dying today, we would have to take and say, well, I just appeal. If my flesh is dying and my world is falling apart and it's about to burn up and everything's going chaotic, well, we have no choice but just commit it to God. I'm where He places me. I'm where He saved me. And I say this a lot of times, Lord, if you don't save me, I won't be saved. If you won't heal me, I won't be healed. If you don't do this, Lord, it won't happen, but I know that you will because you promised you will. Right? And so my point is, we live in the hour. We should be coming to that and saying, I know I have to go to work. I know I have to pay bills. I know I have to do that. But I appeal to Him, the highest power, which is truth. And I'm where He placed me. No matter what it looks like out here, no matter what I feel like in my flesh, that's a lie. That's not who I am. What I am is what He made me to be in His mind before the world was, which is eternal. It's real. It's more real than this flesh realm. And that's who I am. That's who you are.
Right.
Amen. And so you were there with Moses. You were there because the same life is in you. I keep saying that. Everywhere that the word was displayed, you were there. Because you're part of that same eternal life. It's hard to speak and wrap our head around something that's eternal. But I'm just expressing to you the way I feel the Lord is having me express it to you. You and the word that was in Moses, the word that was in Elijah, the word that was in all expressions, you are one and the same. Amen. But you know, we come here and you say, well, Brother Tony, I don't remember these things. You say I was there, I don't remember it. I'm not talking about you necessarily pre-existing there like you are now here. But there's something in you that's greater than what you are in the flesh that was there. And you're like, well, I don't remember that. Now, how many remember Brother Branham preached about spiritual amnesia? He talked about amnesia. You know what amnesia is? When you forget who you are. And he talked about, I was reading, he said, you know, some people, they can have a college degree and still know all that they know from their college degree, but yet don't know who they are. They might even know where they live or something like that, but not know who they are. Or they might not know where they live. It's varying portions of what they might remember, what they don't. But here's the thing, and remember, this is a prophet from God sent to give us this last thing, the last forming of the Word of God before us, give us rapture and faith. This is what he's telling us. And you have to realize that though he was preaching to Pentecostals and different people, and he was preaching to them a gospel to get them to come into truth, to quit going with creeds and dogmas, to come into truth and be a real Christian, and that was the message he was telling them. But you have to realize that while he was preaching that, he was preaching another message, the same message, but a higher depth that's for the bride. And so when he was telling them, you don't believe in praying for the sick and miracles, you forgot who you are. You have spiritual amnesia. That's true. He was telling that to them. But what about the bride? What's he saying to us? So what I'm telling you is that we were there and we shouted. We rejoiced. Every son of God shouted for joy. Because there was a reason they shouted. And we were there.
Right.
But now we're here and we're like, I don't remember that. Because you come here with amnesia. Now, I'm trying to make a doctrine out of this, but listen, Brother Branham said this. He said, people can have amnesia because of war. When they go into war and they go through trauma, a battle will cause that amnesia. He also said that being halt between two opinions can cause a person to go into amnesia. I mean, you know, he said those two things. Now, I haven't looked. Science might tell you there's all kinds of other things that can cause it. But here's the things he pointed out to us. A battle or being halt between two opinions can cause a person to go into amnesia. And I'll tell you, there was a battle in heaven. And we've come here. We were there, and we've come here, and we don't remember that. So we came here with an amnesia to that. And we know it was all the plan of God, because we came here bypassing our theophany. Jesus came, but Brother Bam said, you bypassed, because if you didn't, you would know all things. If I would come here and remember what was there, I'd know. And all these battles wouldn't be nothing. I wouldn't be tested and tried, neither would you, if you knew what was there and you remembered all that. So you had to be blocked for that. But how did it happen? There was a battle, and now you're here, and you don't remember that because there was a battle in heaven. And I would say this, that in heaven, when Lucifer did what he did, there was two different opinions. Lucifer's side and the other side. Who knows how much we were subject to that? You follow me? Who knows? But talk between two opinions, and the effect of that massive, worse than any division here on earth, was that. To be there and be between two opinions. And I'm just saying, to me, when we come here, we've got amnesia. As a process of where we come from and how we got here and how all this works. I don't understand it all, but we've obviously had amnesia. And so Brother Bam says, now, here's how, one way that you can break that amnesia. And he tells a story about the soldier who had amnesia. And he was on a train, and there was somebody that was watching him, and I don't know where they was taking him to, but he didn't know who he was and where he was from. I mean, he remembers the story. Amen. So Brother Ram tells that they stopped the train, and this boy gets a kind of funny look on his face and starts walking, and he's like maybe, okay, well, what's he doing? And so the guy who was in charge of him said, I'll just follow him and see where he goes. This boy just kind of walks, and he starts walking off through the woods on a pathway, walking through the woods, off into through the mountains. And so the guy that was watching him followed him. And he walks out, just kind of wandering around, you know, going down this pathway. And he comes over a hill, and he walks up this pathway to a house. And there was an old man there at the house, come running out, throwed his arm around, and said, my son, I knew you'd come home. They told me that you was dead or whatever, but I knew you'd come one day. And here's what Brother Bram said about it. He said, that boy, they got that boy around familiar surroundings. Got him around something he, in other words, he used to be there, and he went off and he had a war, and now he don't know who he was at, and the way to help him remember who he really was is getting back around the surroundings of where he was, and it'll come to him. So if we were there, but we come here and we don't remember these things, that's truth. This is not, but we come here and we're kind of wandering around, but then God raises up a message to tell us these things and begin to reveal to us things we heard there and rejoiced there with. Now we're hearing them now here and rejoicing here because we did there. And these things are beginning to break that amnesia that we have, and we're beginning to catch and realize who we are. You see what I'm saying? And it's an end time message that's done that. This is the stuff that we get to listen to and tap into, revealed to us from a message that the world don't hear because they rejected it. But it's for his bride. For us to realize, I'm not, as Brother Branham said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I've come from somewhere else. And we all come to this place to realize, I'm not the son of William Dandridge. I'm not the son of Jamie Ellen Roberts. I am, but I'm not, because I come from somewhere else. And that's what I'm being identified with. It's not what I do from day to day and my job. Those are not the things that's feeding my soul. I don't get fed when I go to work in my soul. I don't get fed when I shake hands with somebody at the store. I get fed when I hear these things. Something inside me is quickening to that. You see what I'm saying? Amen. And that's who we are. That's my connection. That's your connection. And that's the thing that we've got to get ourselves around. Get around the environment of what we come from. Get around the environment of the spoken word. We created and everything to begin with. Get around and get immersed in the truths and in these things. And quit being over here in the world and then over here and then over in the world and over here. Because when you're like that, you're all between two opinions. And you'll never come to who you really are. Get away from the world and immerse yourself in the truth of His Word. And you'll find who you are.
Amen.
Amen. That's why it's so important for us to stay hooked up with the message. And God has made it available to us. We can have it every day. We can listen to sermons every day. Read our Bible every day. Pray every day. And come to the house of God on church days. And immerse ourselves. And begin to grow more and more into who we are. Because you know that you can sit right here and say, Brother Tony, this is so clear. It's just all, yes, it's awesome. And then you can walk out this door and you can go out there and immerse yourself in worldly, you know, in the ideas of the world. Maybe not even something sinful, but just their way of thinking. And this leaves you. We don't want it leaving us. We want to come to this.
Amen.
Where this has complete control of our lives. But we have free choice. We have free moral agents. We have to choose. That's what I'm listening to. That's who I am. That's where I come from. This is why F.F. Bosworth, when he was dying, he said, you know you're dying? He said, I cannot die. Brother, sister, I can't die. I can't be corrupted. My flesh can be corrupted. My mind can be corrupted. But that seed inside me that will live on throughout eternity cannot be corrupted, because the scripture said we are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I'm just saying what the scripture says. And we have to believe that. You know what? Though this may perish, this might get run over, it might decay, whatever, you might see it decay. But you remember, that life inside Brother Tony, that life inside you, lives on. Can't be perverted. You could slap it, spray paint it, whatever, as I was showing, it's still the seed of God. Put it in prison, run over it, whatever. It's still the seed of God. They chopped John the Baptist's head off. He was still the seed of God. See what I mean? So all these vanities that we're so tied up to, we got to somehow cut the cord from all that and begin to walk in this of who we really are.
Amen.
Brother, sister, imagine the weeping and wailing that'll happen for people when this thing finally unfolds and they had the opportunity and didn't go with it. When I say, of course, it's predestinated for that people, but there will be people who are cast out into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be a foolish virgin. And I believe that foolish virgin, she will thoroughly know William Branham, the quotes. She'll thoroughly know and know that she didn't let those take place in her life. We all, even though we know we are predestined, we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, right? We all have to come to the place where I know who I am and you know who you are. And you're not shaken. When the scripture said that men's hearts will be failing for looking at the things that are coming up on the earth, there are people petrified at COVID. And it's not even, it's no worse than the flu. You say, Brother Thomas, people die from that. People die from the flu. Look at the numbers. Look at their own things. But people's hearts are failing. You get, it's like, I was talking to, and this is probably true. Somebody get to feeling mad, they go get COVID, they go get a test, and they say, you got COVID. And automatically, their panic level goes through the roof. Oh no, I got COVID, I'm going to die. And probably half of the troubles they have while they go through it is just panic. And I'm not condemning them. I'm just saying truth sets you free. Lies bind you.
Amen.
And we've got to know what truth is and let that be the thing that we are fed from each day. So Lord, use your word to get us into familiar surroundings. Get us back to the place where we know who we are. We can express fully here what we were there. Amen. It's a wonderful message that God has sent us. It is.
And you know, I realize if you haven't been sitting in this teaching and been sitting under this kind of thing, listening to the prophet and going through these years that we have, you know, a lot of this may sound foreign, but we have to believe and know, according to his word, that if there is an elect seed out there, they're hungry. And they have an appetite for this. And God just has to bring them to it. And we'll see many people come. We've had people come and sit right back there and cover some of these truths and say, I'm going to say it the way they said it, okay? My God, when they realize what they've been believing and hear truth. And you would think at that moment they would never go back to the things they've been feeding on before, and yet they do. But what about you? What are you doing? As Brother Branham said in the quote that I read there, he said, what are you following? What have we done? You must choose a leader. You choose today and choose life or death. The choice that you make will determine your eternal destination, what you choose. Remember, Jesus said, follow me, and we have to follow him in his way, what he's provided. And this is the lifeline that God has sent down to the bride, is this message. Amen. So I trust that you have something in you that can identify to what I've told you this morning, that you realize there's something greater in you, and that's really who you are. And you shouted then, you shout now, and you'll be shouting throughout eternity. Because that's the position you hold. That is, remember Brother Ram talked about the abstract title deed. Abstract, searching it all the way back. The title, who owns it, and the deed to give that title rightfully to the person that's going to have it. Abstract title deed. He's come to this day, opening seven seals. The abstract title deed. And it's given to you and I that which was ours to begin with. All the types and shadows in the scriptures, they show so many where someone loses their inheritance and God had planned redemption to make sure they could go right back to what was there to begin with by a kinsman redeemer. Because it's in God's economy. Think of it. The world don't teach us. But in God's economy, through those things you see in the scriptures, somebody had it, fell from it, but God had something in place to take them back. Why? Because they were there to begin with. And in God's economy, you're not going to lose what was given to you to begin with. That's your inheritance. He gave to you an inheritance before the foundation of the world, that you are alive in Christ Jesus. You have eternal life. And now you're here going through things, but you still have it. And nothing will take it away. Amen. God bless you. That's my cue to quit. Let's let the musicians come. God bless you. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, how we thank you for your wonderful words of eternal life and the things that you've committed to us, Lord. It's such a wonderful message. Lord, we realize that from day to day we feel like we just don't do very much justice in trying to express what we are, but we're asking God that you would just continue to feed us, anoint us, and Lord, bring the dynamics of your word to our lives so we could live out just like we see your people in the Bible lived. Not wavering in the face of opposition, but standing there holding that truth high. You said, Lord, that a city that's set on a hill could not be hid. That's your bride. And our job is to shine light to this world. Lord, that last seed won't come in until they see that gospel light. And I pray, God, that you help us to live it. Even in this dark hour and a time where so much controversy, so much rising up against your word and against your people, I pray, God, that you anoint us to stand and be that light to the world. We love you, Lord, to commit these things in your hands, this sermon in your hands, your people into your hands. And that's good in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. You love him? Let's just sing and worship just for a moment. We're getting you out early today. Amen. I was hoping we could. It's a nice day outside, but I don't want to shirk the responsibility of the word and cut it short. And so, pray the Lord you bless you. 779.